morning we're learning Krisus. We're on Daf Zayin. We'll hopefully get through Daf Ches, and we should be on Daf Tes. That's three blot, right there. This morning, as is every morning, the learning we do is for continued Rufu Shlema for Rafael Zaka Avram Ben Yakira Avigail. We are still back on Zayin Amud Beis. And we started the new Mishnah. We are in the. We're going to start with the Gemara right away regarding the Karban Yoledes. So a woman gives birth. A woman has to bring Karbanos. The Torah describes in the beginning of Parashas Tazria that after a woman goes birth, she goes through a period of Tum and Tahara. Just everyone should know, because it's coming up later on this morning. How long is she Tummy for? How long is she Tahora for? So it depends. If she has a boy, she's Tameya for 7 days, followed then by a 33 period of Tahora. If she had a girl, she's Tameya for 14 days, and she's Tahora for the next 66 days. So basically, in totality, it's for a boy 40 days, and for a girl it's 80 days. At the conclusion of her Yemei Tuma V'Tahara, so then she has to bring Karbanos. She has to bring on the 41st day after a boy, set a pair of birds. One bird is going to be a Karban Ol, and the other one's going to be a Karban Chatas. After having a girl, at the 81st day, she's going to bring, again, Karbanos. One is a Chatas, one is an Ola. I mentioned this yesterday. The Chatas that she brings is not a Chatas because she sinned. In fact, just the opposite. She had a baby. It's not really fair to call her a sinner. She's not a sinner. That Karban Chatas is more like a Machshir, right? That's what we described yesterday. Meaning that she simply cannot eat Karbanos until she brings her Karbanos. She brings her own personal Karbanos. Okay? So in other words, she's basically in that that tummy status until she brings her Karbanos on the 41st day. It's analogous to a man who's a Zava, a woman who's a Zava, which again we'll speak about later this morning as well, where they're tummy, they're right, he's Tamei, she's Tamei, until they bring Karbanos, meaning they go through the Tahara process. For the Zav and the Zav, it could be a 7-day Tahara process. For a Zava Gedola, for a Zav Gadol, it's a 7-day Tahara process. And then at the 8th day, they bring Karbanos, and that Karbanos allows them to go ahead and to eat Karbanos for the future. That's the same thing over here with the woman who gives birth. Fine. What the Mishnah has taught us is that sometimes she's going to bring a Karban and the Karban will be eaten. Sometimes she'll bring a Karban and the Karban will not be eaten, and sometimes she will not bring a Karban at all. So what are those three categories? So category number one is when she had a baby, or she miscarried, but she knows that for sure that what she miscarried was a baby. There she has to bring a Karban and the Karban's eaten. Eaten not by her, this is a Chata, so that means that the Karban's going to be eaten by Kohanim. Second category is where she gives birth, and she's going to bring a Karban, but she's not going to. The Karban's not going to be eaten. Why is the Karban not going to be eaten? So the Mishnah gives an assortment of examples. Let's say she miscarried, but she doesn't know what she miscarried. She doesn't know if it was a baby, if it was just simply something else, right? A sack full of water, for example. Or the third category is where she knows that she miscarried, and she knows for sure that what she miscarried is not a baby. So the Gemara gives a number of examples of what came out of her, but whatever it was, it wasn't a baby, so there she wouldn't bring her Karban at all. Those are the three categories of the Mishnah, as we did yesterday. We're going to start with the Gemara today, Shivcha Minalan. Now, what did we say yesterday? That the same story is true by a Shivcha, meaning a Shivcha Kananis, right? A Jewish slave woman. Am I saying that right? No. I'm sorry. A Canaanite slave woman. So she doesn't, she also is subject to this Karban. So the Tanur Rabban, the Gemara says, and it's based on Psukim. We go to the beginning of Parshas Tazria. B'nei Yisrael, Ein Li'ala B'nei Yisrael. So the Torah, when describing this Karban brought by the Yoledes, the woman who just gave birth, so the Torah says, B'nei Yisrael, which gives a very good indication that this halacha is exclusive to B'nei Yisrael. So Giyar is v'shivcha minayin. How about a convert? How about a shivcha? Now, remember, we talk about this so many times. The shivcha is basically a convert, right? She's a quasi-convert. A convert. Once a man or a woman becomes an eved or a shivcha, respectively, so they go through status change. They go, they tovel in the mikvah, and they become quasi-Jews. They are subject to a lot of the mitzvos. All the mitzvos that a woman is obligated in, an eved and a shivcha are going to be obligated in. To which the Gemara now says, Minayin Tamalami Isha. So the Gemara says Isha. Isha is a ribui, it comes to include any woman who gives birth, even a Shivcha Kananis.
Where is the Shivcha going to get the money for
Kohen? She'll have to be sponsored. Right. Okay. My Vechem Veshivcha. So the Gemara says, Sakadacha Amina Ki Amina Kol Mitzvah Sheisha Chayevas Ba'evet Chayev Ba'hanim Elikib B'davar Sheshava Be'nisha Ve'nisha. Look, as a Hava Mina, I might have thought And she's not really obligated to bring a carbon because she's only obligated in general mitzvahs, meaning mitzvahs that apply to both men and women. But this is a woman halacha, the carbon that's given after birth. It's not a man halacha, so maybe, because the halacha already has a certain exclusivity to it, again, as a hava mina, I might have thought that this carbon is not brought by the Shevcha Kananis, aval yalas de benashim isa ba'anashim leisa, emalo techayev shevcha, ahachitana shevcha. Okay, so that's why the Mishnah needs to tell shevcha, it's as if the Gemara is saying kamash malan. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that even though she's not obligated in all the mitzvahs, and even though this particular mitzvah is only applicable to women, nevertheless she brings it. Elu mivin karban. My avdin. Now, we go back to the Mishnah, and we talk about a case where, strange scenario, two women were in a room. One of them had a viable baby, and the other one did not have a viable baby. In fact, had something that doesn't require karban at all. And we don't know which woman had which child. Okay? It creates a host of other issues as well, but right now we're just focusing on one aspect, and that is the karban aspect. Now, because each woman comes out of that room, that dark room, not knowing which is obligated to bring a carbon. So what do we say? In the Mishnah, we said that both of them are going to have to bring a carbon at a safek, but because each one's carbon is a safek, so therefore neither carbon is eaten by the Kohanim. Good. Then we made another point on this case, which is the following. What if the two of them are there together? So then they could do a little creative legal maneuvering, which the Gemara calls simply making a tanai, making a condition. And it would go like this. The Gemara now describes it in detail. My avdin, my sinan travay chad carbon, they both bring one carbon, vadai vechatas of suffik. Look, they're gonna, each one of them is going to bring a carbonola. Carbonola, look, anyone can bring a carbonola. So each one of them will bring a carbonola, and they'll just simply say, let me spell out the details. The Gemara over here is very sparse in terms of giving out the details. And each one of them will say, when bringing the Ola, look, I may be the one who has given birth to a baby, so therefore the Ola will apply towards me having given birth to a baby. And if it's the other one who had birth to the baby, and I'm not the one who gave birth to the baby, so then I'll just simply bring an Ola, give it as an Ola's Nadava. And each woman will say that. Good. Now what about the Chatas? You see, by the Chatas you can't do that. Because a chatas has to be specific to a particular event. A chatas cannot just simply be donated. So what are the two of them going to do? The two of them are going to both bring one chatas. And they're going to make a condition. The condition is very simple. Look, if you're the one who needs the chatas, not atonement, again, this is giving birth, but if you need the chatas benefits, so it'll apply to you. And if I'm the one who needs it, it'll apply to me. So in other words, they'll both make it tonight. So the Gemara says, now, it's creative, but does Rav Yosef subscribe to this? And the Gemara says, I don't think so. Consider the following. Rabbi Shimon Amar Mivir Shneim Chatas Achas. Rabbi Yosef Amar Ein Shneim Mivin Chatas Achad. So the Gemara quotes, we're kind of thrown into the middle of a discussion over here. But Rav Yossi elsewhere says that you cannot do this. You cannot make a condition to bring a carbon chatas. Okay, we'll see this case later on. So Amar Rav Yossi leislay tanan. So you see that Rav Yossi does not subscribe to this idea. Oh, we'll just simply make a condition. So Rav Yossi ben Mechusar. Amar Rava Mod Rav Yossi ben Mechusar Kapara. The Chenki Asa Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan Mod Rav Yossi ben Mechusar Kapara. So the Gemara says, look, Rav Yossi, it's not a challenge at all. When Rav Yossi says that you can't make a condition on a carbon chatas, that means a chatas that provides an atonement. Over here, we're talking about a woman who's given birth. In this case, two women who has given birth, one definitely and one definitely not. We just don't know which one's which. This carbon chatas is fundamentally different. This carbon chatas is not there to achieve atonement. This carbon chatas is just simply a machshir. So although by a kapara carbon chatas, there Rav Yossi says you need to definitively know who's this for? Because that's kapara. And chatas doesn't work unless you absolutely know who it's for. And there are two people, right? One of them ate chaylev. We don't know which one of them ate chaylev. And so therefore, let's make a suggestion. Well, the two of them will bring one carbon chatas and we'll make it tonight. Rav Yossi says, no, it's not going to work. Because the very nature of a carbon chatas that provides atonement is that you have to know who it's for. But here, it may be called a chatas, and in terms of all the rules and regulations, we'll treat it like a chatas, but it's not a classic chatas. It's not there to provide atonement, it's there simply to provide hachshara, to be machshir, the woman, so that she can eat karbanos now for the future. It's to finish off her tahara process. So it's different in Rav Yossi, where they concede that you can make tanaim. You can bring it conditionally. My time, and the Gemara articulates what I basically just said. So when it comes to the classic carbon chatas that provides kapara, the Torah says, "Oh, hoda elav chataso." He has to know his sin. So if he doesn't know his sin, he can't bring carbon chatas. But over here, the carbon chatas, purpose of carbon chatas by a woman who's given birth is just simply to permit the eating of kachim. Okay. And in fact, when you read the Gemara later on, we'll do this later on, the Gemara in Christos, you'll see that's exactly what's behind Rabbi Yossi. Period. Now remember, Rabbi Shimon says that if a woman had a birth cesarean, she's going to be chayv to bring a carbon yoledes. The Chachamim disagree. So what's behind Rabbi Shimon? My time to Rabbi Shimon. I'm Rishak Hashemakor. V'im nekeva teleid. The Rabbos leida acheres. The Torah says v'im nekeva teleid. There must be an extra word over here. Rashi says v'im nekeva he. In other words, the word teleid in of itself is an extra word. So it's referring to another birth. What does that mean, another birth? So yotzei dofen, so it means yotzei dofen, meaning that if the baby comes out naturally, vaginally, or if the baby comes out via cesarean, either way, the it's considered a birth. This is, again, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. V'rabbana maitaima, amar Rabbi Mani bar Patish, isha ki sazri av yalda, and the Chachamim disagree, because the Torah, when describing birth, first describes Isha Ki Sazria. Right? There's no good English translation, at least in the way we understand biology, that describes what exactly this means. Isha Ki Sazria. She seminates, she germinates. It's not, I don't have a good English translation. But the point is that the place where the Zera goes in, meaning it has to be a vaginal birth. So, and any other type of birth, i.e. a cesarean birth, is not considered a birth, and so therefore she does not bring a carbon yoledes if she gives birth cesarean. Okay. Good, that takes us to the end of that Mishnah, and we now start the new Mishnah. Now it's not really a new Mishnah, it's really a continuation, it's a total hamshacha of what we've been discussing up until this point in time. Okay, let's just go over again what we know already, but just make sure we get it straight, because you got to be comfortable with the numbers in order to understand the discussion, the ensuing discussion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. A woman gives birth now, that's it. Let's talk about she's given birth to a girl. Those are the numbers that we're going to be dealing with over the course of the next 20 to 30 minutes. Okay, hopefully even shorter, but I like explaining these things. So a woman gives birth, so she is now Tamea. That means to say that bleeding or no bleeding, and let's go with a normal situation. So under normal circumstances, she'll be bleeding for a little bit. So she'll be Tamea for the next 14 days. Okay. Then what happens is on the eve of the 15th day, she'll tovel in the mikvah. Now, in terms of her status of Tumah's concern, she's still essentially Tamea. But something interesting happens, which is that for the next 66 days, the blood that comes out of her is called dam tahor, right? It's pure blood. Now, this is all aliba. This is all according to the strict letter of the law, right? We have a minug nowadays. I'll get to the minug a little bit later on, but right now I'm just describing it as the Torah describes it. The next 66 days, blood comes out of her as dam tahor, which means that she and her husband can have relations for the next 66 days, even if she is bleeding. Okay. And it's interesting, though, because even though the blood that comes out of her is tahor, she's still, on a more global level, she's still tamea, meaning she still can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash yet. She still can't eat karbanos yet, because she has not brought her karbanos. When will she bring her karbanos? At the conclusion of the 80 days. So meaning, on the 81st day after having given birth, she now goes to the Beis HaMikdash and she brings her karbanos. Now, when we see the 81st day, we mean specifically on the 81st day. Meaning, what about the eve of the 81st day? She can't bring karbanos. But for a very simple reason, because it's nighttime. Nighttime is not the right time to bring karbanos. So she has to wait now to the 81st day, and she'll then bring her karbanos on the 81st day. Her karbanos simply means a pair of birds. One is a chatas, one is an ola. Okay, so far so good. We have a minog, right? And this minog is an old minog. It started by the Gaonim. I'm almost positive that the that even though the Torah says that for the next 66 days the blood comes out as dam tahor and a husband is allowed to have relations according to the Torah with his wife, but the Gaonim were concerned that this is this may be particularly confusing, right? And so we have a minhag that any bleeding that occurs after birth is going to be treated like dam nida, even though the Torah says it's really tahor. Okay, so it's an old minhag. I say that not by explaining the Gemara, but just by explaining our practice nowadays. Okay, now, so far so good. Okay, so 81st day comes now, she has to bring her karbanos. Okay, let's say she doesn't bring it on the 81st day, right? But she owes. She's on the hook to bring the karbanos. And then, let's say a year later, she has another baby. Okay, so she's going to end up bringing karbanos now for her second baby. Is she still on the hook for her karbanos for her first baby? You bet. Absolutely. Meaning, just because she had a second baby doesn't mean that she's going to be relieved from having to bring the karbanos from her first baby. You could have argued, you could have said that the whole purpose of her bringing her karbanos is to be machshir, is just simply to allow her to eat karbon. She will be allowed to eat karbon after the bringing of her karbanos for the second baby. You could have made the argument that she doesn't have to bring for the first baby, but we don't make that argument. She's obligated for both one and for two. Okay. What if she has a miscarriage, let's say before her 80 days have terminated? Meaning, let's say on day 70 she had a miscarriage. Now, again, that's not going to be so practical, but let's just go back according to the strict letter of the law, meaning after 14 days she tovas in the mikvah, so on day 15 she's already back with her husband. Okay, now and I, to a certain degree, I do understand that the chances and likelihood of her getting pregnant at that point in time are very slim. But again, let's just deal with what if. What if she had a baby, let's say she conceived, I'm sorry, let's say 2 weeks, 3 weeks afterwards, and then we need a 40-day gestation. Remember, anything before 40-day gestation is simply nothing. It's Gemara calls Maya Ba'alma. So we need a minimally 40-day gestation. So let's say she conceives on day 20, and now she miscarries on day 60 or 65 or day 70. So now, is she going to need to bring a new set of karbanos for that miscarriage? So the answer is going to be no. She's not going to need. Why? Because she's still within Tumah period number one. Meaning, basically, we're going to call that continuation. Right? Again, to give a terrible analogy, but like, in other words, if I'm now at the NBA, if the shot goes off, even though the foul already occurred, but the shot goes off as a continuation, so we basically put the shot together with the foul in, it's an N1 opportunity. Okay, you like the basketball analogy? Great. If not, let's just move right along. So so over here, it's a continuation, meaning as long as she miscarried within her 80 days, so at that point in time, it's considered all of, as one period of tumah. She has not completed her whole tumah cycle for the first baby, so therefore we don't count that second miscarriage as a second miscarriage, but rather just simply as a continuation of the first. Now, by the way, after that miscarriage, her counting now is going to start again, meaning she'll now go through that new 14-day, 66-day, but still, it's all continued as one continuum. Okay, so far so good. Okay, and where does all this lead us to? What if she miscarries? Day 60, we understand, that's all part of the first baby, right? Day 90, it's a new event, requiring a new set of karbanos. What if she miscarries on day 81? Well, day 81 is already now post her what we'll call the Yemei HaMalos, where she has concluded her 14 and 66 days, meaning she's finished her 80 days. So on day 81, even if she didn't bring a karban yet for her first baby, But still, if she has a miscarriage on day 81, she's going to need to bring a new set of karbanos. Because on day 81, she already was obligated to bring karbanos from the first baby. So far, so good. What if she has a miscarriage on the eve of the 81st day? On the eve of the 81st day. So now, it's a little trickier, right? Because on one hand, she did finish her 80 days. She successfully completed her 80 days. Now, after day 80, meaning as she enters into day 81, which of course is the eve of 81, she at that point in time now, she is no longer in this Yemei Tahara period, meaning she has concluded her malos for the first baby. On the other hand, she can't bring karbanos yet. She can only bring karbanos until not until the next morning. So if she has a miscarriage on the eve of the 81st day, do we still count that towards the previous baby as a continuation of the previous baby, of her first baby? Or do we view this as a new event requiring now a new set of karbanos? Good. That's the question. The Mishnah deals with that one question. Hamapalas Laor Shmonim Ve'echad. She miscarries on the eve of the 81st day, says the Mishnah. You realize that when it says or, it means the eve. Right? Remember the beginning of Psachim? Right? Ar Laor La'ar Ba'asar? Okay. Beit Shammai Potrim Min HaKarban. So Beit Shammai says she's off the hook. She does not have to bring a carbon for this baby. Meaning this is a continuation of the previous baby, and so therefore it's all one long tumah period, and so therefore she'll only bring carbonos one time for her first baby, and this considered a continuation.
She
of course she's tamea. The issue over here is not her status. We know she's tamea. The issue is, is this a new birth event requiring a new set of karbanos? That's the only question on the table. So an unusual change of pace over here, where Basil becomes the machmir. He says that she's required to bring a new set of karbanos, and Beis Shammai says no, she's not. Amru Beis Hillel la Beis Shammai Maishna or Shmonim ve'echad miyam Shmonim ve'echad im shiva lo l'tuma lo yishvala l'karbon. So Beis Hillel says the eve of the 81st is a new time period, and basically exactly for the reason you just said. Because look, let's say she starts bleeding on the eve of the 81st, right? What kind of blood is that? Is that dam tahor or dam tameya? It's dam tameya. It's no longer dam tahara. So in other words, she entered into a new time period. So if she has a miscarriage on the eve of the 81st, that's a new event requiring a new set of karbanos. So Amalem Beit Shammai Lomim Matam Bemapels Yom Shmonim Ve'echad Shekein Yatzal Shashi Ruuya La'avi Bar Karban Tomer Bemapels Or Shmonim Ve'echad Shelo Yatzal Shashi Ruu La'avi Bar Karban. And Beit Shammai's argument to Beis Hillel is, don't you see the difference between the night of the 81st and the day of the 81st? If she miscarries on the day of the 81st, well, at that point in time, she had a chance to bring karbanos from her first baby. So therefore, a miscarriage on the day of the 81st requires a new set of karbanos. It's a totally new event requiring a new set of karbanos. But last night, meaning the eve of the 81st, she didn't have a chance to bring karbanos. She couldn't bring karbanos. It's what we're going to call from this point forward, mechusar zman. It's too early. So now, a miscarriage on the eve of the 81st can't translate into a new birthing event because she could not bring karbanos yet for her first baby. So I therefore view it as a continuation. So Beisil says, well, how about this? How about if we do it this way? And let's see if this can sway you. Beisil says to Beit Shammai, let's imagine for a moment that she had the miscarriage on day 81 and then happened to have been a Shabbos. Okay? Now, can she bring her karbanos on Shabbos? The answer is obviously no. The only karbanos that can be brought on Shabbos are karbanos that are kavua zman, that have a fixed date. This carbon does not have a fixed date. Yes, she should bring it on day 81, and day 81 is on the calendar, but on her calendar, it's not printed in the. So, in other words, it's not a carbon that's kavua zman. So, therefore, if the 81st day fell on the Shabbos and she miscarried on day 81, even if she didn't miscarry on day 81, she won't be bringing her carbon on day 81. It's Shabbos, okay? Now, Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, now let's say she miscarried on that Shabbos, on that day 81. How many karbanos does she have to bring? One or two? The answer, everyone agrees, is going to be two. One for the previous birth and one for this birth. Because this birth is now a new event. It happened on day 81. It's a new event. So Amalem Beit Shammai lo im amatem yom shmoneh ve'echad shechalev v'shabbos shaf al pi she'enam ruy l'karban yachid v'ar l'karban tzibur. Tomer ben mapel so shmoneh ve'echad she'en alay l'ruy lo l'karban yachid v'ar l'karban tzibur. And Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, I'm not swayed at all by that argument. That argument doesn't do anything for me. Look, day 81, which falls on a Shabbos, she can't bring a karban, but other karbanos are brought, meaning that is a zman karban. It's a time of karban. She is restricted from bringing karbanos because she's a yachid, she's an individual. But a communal karban is brought, so it's a zman karban, just that she's limited, she's restricted, but it's a zman karban. Nighttime is not a zman karban at all. So if she miscarries on the eve of the 81st, you can't say, oh, that's a new event because she could have brought karbans. She can't bring karbans, period. And finally, v'hadamim eino mochichos. And finally, Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, and look, what was your best argument you had so far? Is that if she bleeds on the eve of the 81st, that's a new type of bleeding. And Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, you're right, it is a new type of bleeding. But that doesn't speak to the karban at all. It says nothing about the karban. So the Gemara says, "Shahamapels betoch malos damet tamem b'termin a karban." Because look, let's say she miscarries on day 70. Okay, let's go back 10 days. Let's say she miscarries on day 70. That bleeding that comes as a result of that miscarriage. You want to tell me that's tahor blood? It's not. It's tameh blood. And now, how many karbanos does she bring? One or two? We're all in agreement. Only one. Because she's still within her malos of the first baby. So you see, I can very easily illustrate to you where the bleeding will be a different type of bleeding even within the 80 days, and yet it's going to be still one karban. So the fact that if she bleeds on the eve of the 81st, I agree with you, it's a different blood. It's not dam tahor, it's now dam tameya. It's dam nida, right? I agree with you. But so what? Meaning, just because the bleeding is a different type of bleeding, we're not going to call that a new birth event. That doesn't change the status regarding her miscarrying on the eve of the 81st. Okay. Good. Mishnah, we don't get this that often from a Mishnah, where the Mishnah has a lot of back and forth. This Mishnah has a lot of back and forth between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and there really is only one, well, we could distill it to really one fundamental issue, which is, the evening of the following day, of the next day, is that considered a Zman Karban or not a Zman Karban? Right? If I want to distill the entire dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that basically seems to be the debate. Where Beit Hillel will tell you, look, it's now we've entered into the 81st day. I know it's the eve of the 81st day. I know I can't bring a Karban. But it now starts the 81st day. If she miscarries, even on the evening of, that's considered as if she has miscarried now on day 81. She can't bring a karban now. Doesn't matter. It's now considered the 81st day. And so therefore it's considered a new event. She'll have to bring a karban for her first baby, and she'll have to bring a karban for this miscarriage as well. Okay? And Beit Shammai will argue, and Beit Shammai will say no. If she has a miscarriage on day 81, then I'm with you. Because at that point in time, she could have brought a karban for her first baby. But because she had a miscarriage on the eve of the 81st, and because she can't bring a karban, because it's nighttime, it's mechusar zman, and so therefore we view it as a continuation of the first event, the first birth. Tanya, we're on Daf Ches, we're on Daf Ches Amid Aleph. Amru lahen beishamah beishamah harehu amr levas rabbis or shmonim ve'achad. Now, the Gemara quotes a brisa. And this brisa does it so much easier than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had a lot of give and take, a lot of good discourse between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. But meanwhile, in this brisa, Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, drasha. It's a simple drasha. That's how I know that if she has a miscarriage on the eve of the 81st, she's going to have to bring a new carbon for this event. Now, after quoting the brisa, the Gemara now tells us a little story. Rabbi Hoshia, Havishchir Chamed de Bar Kapara. Rav Hoshia had a Rebbe, and his Rebbe was Bar Kapara, Shavke. And he leaves Bar Kapara. Not Yiddishkeit. Just leaves his Rebbe and goes to a new Rebbe. Right? He would like to learn a different style, a different approach, whatever the reason was. He goes to a new Rebbe. V'as kama de Rebbe Chiya, and his new Rebbe becomes Rebbe Chiya. Okay, Rebbe Chiya, who is contemporaries with Rebbe, student of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, uncle to Rav. Okay, his new Rebbe now becomes Rebbe Chiya. Yumachad paga bay. Now, there's an occasion where he meets with his old Rebbe Bar Kapara. And as understood, there's going to be tension between Bar Kapara and Rebbe Yoshia. Okay, as human nature would have it. Ba'mine zav shirah gimel riyos belel ches ma. Ma beisela omrim bedavar zeh. Okay, now we're going to ask a question which is really very related, very similar to what we've been discussing throughout this entire Mishnah. Again, a man has a discharge, right? A zav discharge. Not exactly seminal discharge. It's a zav discharge. It's a little bit different in color and in texture. And if a man, thank you. Oh boy, really? and if a man has three discharges within a 3-day period, it doesn't have to be on 3 days. It could be even in less than 3 days. But if a man has three discharges, he's now what's called a zav, right? A major zav. He has to count 7 clean days. He then, on the 8th day, needs to bring karbanos. And again, his story is basically the same story. Where those karbanos that he bring on day 8, even though it is an olah nechatas, he's not a sinner. That karban chatas serves as a machshir. Okay. Now, let's say from day 8 and onwards, let's say he has another 3 re'ios. Another 3, the Gemara refers to them as seeings. They're not really seeings, they're discharges. Okay, but we're going to call them re'ios because that's what the Gemara does. Okay, so now let's say he has another 3 rios, so now he's going to be on the hook for another set of karbanos, and again, it's going to be basically the same story. What if he has those 3 discharges on the eve of the 8th day? Same discussion. In fact, that's what the former Talmud wants to ask his former Rebbe, or vice versa, right? What would Beis Hillel say over here regarding the man who saw the 3 discharges on the eve of the 8th day? So again, the argument's going to be the same exact argument. Meaning on one hand, we could say, look, he's passed the Shiva Nakim. He has now counted 7 clean days. He's now moved on to the next stage. So these 3 re'ios that he sees now is a new event, requiring a new set of karbanos. On the other hand, we're going to say no. That because it's the eve of the 8th day, not the day of the 8th day, he didn't have a chance to bring his karbanos yet for his first three discharge event. So therefore, we can't say this is a new event. We'll say simply that it's a continuation of the previous event, simply because he didn't have an opportunity to bring karbanos from the original re'iyah event. Okay, good.
Is that reset the clock for another 7 days?
Of course. In other words, he for sure will have to reset the Shiva Nakiyim. But the only issue is new set of karbanos. So what's Beis Hillel going to say? So Beis Hillel, by the woman, said she's going to bring a new set of karbanos for the miscarriage that occurs on the eve of the 81st. Okay, so what essentially now, is Beis Hillel going to say that consistently, or is that a special halacha regarding the woman? Now, that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Meaning when you went through the Mishnah, what you were seeing in the Mishnah was, this is a fundamental issue. Meaning this is Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel was arguing conceptually. When you read the Braisa, how did Beis Hillel have the same conclusion in the Braisa? But how do you arrive at that conclusion in the Braisa? Drasha. Right? The difference between a drasha versus something which is fundamental is going to be right over here. What if a man who basically follows the same pattern, right? Obviously different set of circumstances, but the same pattern where 7 days, 8th day needs to bring karbanos, and has a re'iyah on the eve of the 8th day. So what is Beis Hillel going to say? So, Tamai de Beis Hillel b'mapels b'layla mishim dechziv l'vas, aval zav sheragim oriz b'loches, patra delom yasri cry. Is it a drasha like the Braisa said, and therefore Beis Hillel will simply say, is this halacha is limited only to the woman having given birth? Odim lo shna, or no, do we side more like the Mishnah, where this isn't a drasha-driven halacha, but this is a more conceptual halacha? Amalei Bar Kapara, ma bavli omer bedavar zeh. So Bar Kapara says to Rabbi Yoshia, well, what does the Babylonian say? He's speaking in derogatory terms about Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya comes from Bavel, and he says, "Yeah, why don't you go ask your new Rebbe?" Okay, not again tension. Yeah. So Omer B'Davar said, "Ishtik Rabbi Oshia lo Amar Klum." So Rabbi Oshia said nothing. Amalei Bar Kapar Tzrichim LeDivrei Chiya. So Bar Kapar says you need the words of Chiya. Now in the Gemara it doesn't say the word Chiya; it says Aya. So is it Rashi over here?
Yeah.
Right, Iya. So is it Rashi over here? Right. Right, it was the right. It's basically the Aramaic way of saying Rabbi Chiya. Again, it doesn't sound that flat. It's not a flattering way. Anyway, okay. Again, they were sharp with one another. It's not we just did the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that the Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael were pleasant to one another. The ones in Bavel weren't always so pleasant with one another. Okay. Anyway. So Nachzar ala Rishona. So the Gemara says, let's go back to our let's focus. Right? The Rashi says this is basically tantamount to the Gemara saying Amramar. Like let's come back. Hare Omer Lavas Rabbas Orshman and Be'echa. Name a So the Gemara says, first of all, the Gemara quotes again the Brice, and the Brice says that this is a Drasha driven halacha. The Gemara suggests maybe this is really a machlokas tanaim. Zav Shura Gimor Rios Balal Ches. Okay, so here we go. We have now the Brisa dealing with this case head on. You have a man who had three Re'ios, counted Shiva Nekiyim. Now on the eve of the eighth day, again sees three Re'ios. Tanicha Amevi, V'tanya Idach and Amevi. So one Brisa says he needs to bring a new set of Karbanos, and the other Brisa says no, he doesn't. So my love tonight, he died. The Tanya Mevi Katsava Laila Mechusus Man, the Hadad Nye Mevi Katsava Laila Mechusus Man. And the Gemara says, and this is exactly the issue as we've been discussing now for the last 20 minutes, which is the nighttime of the eighth day. Is that considered premature? Is that not considered premature? If it's considered premature, so therefore it's basically a continuation of the first event. If it's not considered premature, if the night of the eighth day is considered the day of the eighth day, so now this is a new event. Good. Rav Huna bar Acham, Rav Elazar, Hani Tanai Sar V'Laila Mechusas Man. So the Gemara says, can we scratch it? Meaning, not scratch the Brisas, leave the Brisas there, but give a totally new interpretation of the Brisas. Let's assume that everyone holds that Laila is Mechusas Man, that the nighttime is premature. You can't bring a carbon at night. So the night of the eighth day is not considered the day of the eighth day. Good. Good. The only problem is, I have one Brisa saying, he is required to bring a new set of karbanos, and one Brice is saying he's not required to bring a new set of karbanos. So if you're saying that night is mechusas man, I totally understand the position of it's a continuation, right? But if you hold that nighttime is, right? But how do you then understand the Brice that says he has to bring a new set of karbanos? How does that work? V'haditanya mevi, b'zav ba beiz re'iyos. So the Gemara gives a new interpretation. You misunderstood the whole Brisa. You misunderstood the whole case. You thought the case was a guy going off three Re'iyos, meaning that was his original event. It was a three Re'iyah event, which requires seven clean days, Shiv and Akiyim, followed them by Karbanos on day eight. No, that wasn't the case of the Brisa. The case of the Brisa is where the original event was two Re'iyos. Now, a man who has two discharges, again, within a two-day period, even within a three-day period, a man who has two discharges, he needs to count Shiva Nekiyim. He needs to count seven clean days. Right?
Without a carbon.
No carbon. That's the case of the Brisa. So the Gemara says, So the one Brisa that says that he needs to bring, that means, because for the first event, he didn't need to bring karbanos. For this new event, he does need to bring karbanos. To which the Gemara later on will ask the obvious question. Well, the original event didn't require karbanos at all. Like, of course. Right. What would the point now be? Oh, and if he has now a new event of three Re'iyos, so now he has to bring karbanos. Of course he's got to bring karbanos. And the second Brisa is talking about a case where the first event was three Re'iyos, the second event was three Re'iyos, but the second event occurred on the eve of the eighth day, so therefore there's no new karbanos that need to be brought because Laila is Mechusas Man. So, Zabab is Re'iyos, Maila Me'er, Akamash, Melandafka, Rabbe, Lel Ches, Avabi, Yamama, Design, Lo. So the Gemara says, and look, and I'll explain to you now the Chiddush. The Chiddush goes like this. Where let's say the first event was two Re'ios. Again, two Re'ios require 7 clean days, but no carbon. And then on the eve of the 8th day, he has 3 Re'ios. To which now the Gemara is saying, is that a major Chiddush? It is a bit of a Chiddush. And the Gemara explains why. Because let's imagine now that instead of seeing the eve of the 8th day, he actually had those 3 Re'ios on the 7th day. On the 7th day. Now, seeing Re'ios on the 7th day, what does that do? That interrupts his counting, his 7-day counting. And we have a rule that any discharge that is interrupting his 7-day counting is not going to be counted for a carbon. Meaning, that discharge that he has during the 7 days has one singular purpose, and that is to disrupt his Shiva Nekiyim. And it cannot be then counted as a re'ia discharge in order for him to bring a carbon for the future. Kasavar. And the Gemara articulates this in one line of Gemara. Kol re'ia shesoseres ein mevi'a lidei carbon. Any discharge that disrupts his 7 Nekiyim will not lead to a carbon. Good. Amarava amayu kimta lahad detanye mevi bezav ba'al gimarios lisnegabe chamisha mevi'in carbon echad al averos harbe. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what you're telling me is that the Bryce is talking about a scenario where his first event was 3 Re'ios, his second event was 3 Re'ios, the second event occurred on the eve of the 8th day. The Gemara just wants to know, that should be in a Mishnah. Which Mishnah? The Mishnah which I really don't think we're going to get up to, but the Mishnah we should be doing later this morning, the Mishnah talks about where, no, I'm sorry, we will get up to it. Sorry, where you're going to bring one carbon for multiple events. It should now be that this brisa should be added to the list of one carbon for multiple events, meaning 3 re'ios, 7 clean days, on the eve of the 8th day, 3 re'ios, it's going to be one carbon to cover both of those events. How come it didn't make the list? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it didn't make the list, because it is not unilateral. It is not a cut and dry matter. Sometimes you will have to bring additional carbon, sometimes you won't. Imagine the following scenario. Let's start off the story from the beginning. He had 3 Re'ios and now he's a Zav. He's got to count 7 Nekiyim, 7 clean days. And then on the 8th day he needs to bring carbonos. But let's just back up to the night before. On the night before he had 1 discharge. Then on the 8th day he had 2 discharges. Okay, I know it's complex. I know all this is a little bit complicated. But let's imagine that's the scenario. If that were the case, those 2 Re'ios that he experienced on day 8 now will require him to bring a new set of carbonos. Wait a second. Those 2 are only going to be counted towards a new carbon only when I add them with the Re'ia that he had the night before. Didn't we say that the Re'ia of the night before is not considered a Re'ia? So the Gemara says it's exactly the point. In this particular case, that 1 Re'ia the night before will count towards the 2 of the following day. However, if I had 2 the night before and 1 day of day 8, that doesn't count towards a new event. That is not a new event. Amar of Yosef Teda. Now why? So I can say to you very simply, this is not the way the Gemara is going to say it, is because basically we follow the majority. Meaning, this is my phraseology, this is my terminology, right? Disclaimer, it could be totally off base, but it's a simple way to view it. It's that, look, since of those 3, 2 of them occurred on day 8, so therefore the majority of them occurred on day 8, so therefore it's like a new event. Okay, that's the easy way to say it, that's the way I say it. And again, not necessarily correct. How does the Gemara say it? The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yosef Teida Da'achas Balaylo Beis Bayom Mevi Da'hari'ir Rishona Shich Vazer Ba'alma." The Gemara says, "Look, because when a man has 1 discharge, even if it's a ziva discharge, categorically, halachically, it's no different than a man having a regular seminal discharge. Meaning, when a man has a regular seminal discharge, does he have to count 7 clean days? No, of course not. He's tamei." He goes to mikvah. He'll be tamer after he goes to mikvah. having the one Zav discharge categorically is the same thing as Shechva Zera. So in other words, it's not a, halachically speaking, it's not a major event. It's a very minor event. So therefore, if he had one on the night, since categorically it's basically the same as having a seminal discharge, so therefore it doesn't create its own space and time. It's not like enough of an event where basically I can say, that's a continuation of the first event. It's not strong enough to be considered part of the first event. So therefore, if he has two the next day, that one the night before will be dragged along, so to say, of the two of the next day. Okay, that's, again, it's a little bit more complicated than the way I said it. It's the Gemara saying it, so obviously you take it with more value than what the way I said it, but okay. Rav Sheshit just simply says, I'm not buying that svara. Meaning that argument that Rav Yosef just provided, that the one Re'iyah, that the first Re'iyah is tantamount to Shechva Zera, and so therefore it won't disrupt. I'm not into that argument. But Rav Yochanan said it, so I'm not going to back away from the correctness of the halacha. But if that's the argument you want to provide, I'm not into the argument. Well, mi amar Rav Yochanan laila mechusas man v'armechiskei nitma biyom mevi b'laila ein mevi. So the Gemara says Rav Yochanan subscribes to this whole concept of nighttime being mechusas man. The Gemara says it doesn't seem to be true. Let's go to our Nazir. I know we're all over the place today, but at least conceptually, it's all one basic idea. Right? Today's unified by one basic idea, which is that the nighttime is a premature time. Okay? But we are discussing in the context of a woman having a miscarriage and a man having a Zav discharge, and now we're discussing in the context of a Nazir becoming Tameh. Now, when a Nazir becomes Tameh, so he needs 7 days of purification, like anyone who comes into contact with the dead. And then on day 8, he brings karbanos. What if he becomes tamei again? Repeat, seven days of purification and karbanos. What if he hasn't bring his karbanos from the first tumah event? He's still on the hook for that. And again, what if he becomes tamei on the eve of the 8th day? It's the same discussion. But here's where it gets interesting. Because Chizkiya says, Nitma v'yom mevi b'layla mevi. It's Chizkiya who says that if he becomes Tameh on the eve of, so then he is, it's a continuation. He does not bring a new set of karbanos. Rav Yochanan Amar, afilo b'layla mevi. And Rav Yochanan says that even if he becomes Tameh eve of the 8th day, it's a new Tumah event for the Nazir. Okay. So this is the same Rav Yochanan who we've been arguing consistently, who says that it is not...
It's the eighth day, not the
ninth. No, but he says, no, even on the eve of the eighth day. Afilu balayla. So, kikam Rav Yochanan beis balayla v'achas bayom, ein mevi l'divrei ha'omer mechusas man l'divrei... L'divrei ha'omer mechusas man. So the Gemara says, well, Rav Yochanan over there wasn't espousing his own opinion. He was only talking vis-a-vis the one who said mechusar zman. Meaning, I don't fundamentally agree with this position, but if you subscribe to the position that mechusar zman is still considered day 8, the night is considered day 8, so for him you're going to have to bring. So the Gemara says, l'divrei ha'omer pshita. So the Gemara says, okay, but isn't that obvious? No, the Gemara says, Ra'achz balayla beis bayam, it's derechlei. Ma'u detem akem talav mizman chiyuva kachazilei, lo tipstarev kamash malan. So the Gemara says, look, that Rav Yochanan is telling us here a bigger chiddush, in that if you see on the night of, I might have thought that doesn't combine to the two that he sees the next day, meaning that those may have been viewed as two separate events, night versus the next 2 days. So the Gemara therefore says, Kamash Malan, the Chiddush contained in Rav Yochanan is that those two are combined together. Okay. All right, so, yeah, fair question. So again, just quickly to recap. Okay, the woman who miscarries on the eve of the 81st day. Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, obviously we're going to follow like Beis Hillel, which means that it's a new event. meaning that she finished her malos, she finished her 80 days, and this is going to be viewed as a new event. She'll need to bring a carbon for her first baby, and she'll need to bring another carbon for this miscarriage as well. That's the accepted halacha. Why? So now we open up the Pandora's box. Because either it's based on a conceptual viewpoint, which is Laila is not mechusar zman, right? And if that's true, so then it would apply to the case of the man who had his zav discharge on the eve of the eighth day. It would apply to the case of the nazir who becomes tamei on the eve of the eighth day, where it's not considered mechusar zman, and therefore fundamentally new karban for both the zav and for the nazir. If, however, this is a halacha that is limited to the woman, and the reason why would be simply because drasha, like we said in the top of the amud, so therefore it is a halacha limited only to, I'm not sure, and I'm in good company because that was the Gemara's first discussion that I had over here as well. Okay? And unfortunately we're further behind. Okay, when we get to the next perek, we'll be in better shape because Tosos makes a fantastic comeback. So we'll be better, but admittedly, I don't think I've ever been this far behind.